Ladies and gentlemen, this is John M. Kennedy speaking to you from the Blue Network Studios in Hollywood, where an open house party is in progress for Paul Whiteman, new musical director of the Blue Network. Gathered here are the stars of the entertainment world to welcome Mr. Whiteman and wish him well. Among the crowd, I see, well, there's Paul Whiteman himself, Gracie Allen, Ferdy Goffey, Tom Brenneman, Gracie Fields. There's Johnny Mercer, the King's Man, Lemon Abner, and the distinguished concert pianist, Jesus San Román. Then, of course, we'll be hearing from Archie of Duffy's Tavern, Jimmy Dorsey, Mildred Bailey, Paul LaValle, Morton Downey, and Dr. Walter Damrosch, who are all in New York City. Don McNeil and his famous gang will join us from Toledo, Ohio, and Tommy Dorsey, Henry Bussey, Matty Malnick, and their orchestras will contribute to our party from various cities on the West Coast.
Hello, John.
Well, here's somebody you want to meet, our master of ceremonies for the evening.
Hi-ho, everybody. This is Rudy Vallee. Ladies and gentlemen, this is an evening of memory, a tribute to the past of a great musician, Paul Whiteman, and a toast to his future. So on with the show. Here is the guest of honor of our open house party, the Blue Network's musical director, Paul Whiteman.
Hello, everyone. I can't begin to tell you what kind of a thrill this is to me. It looks like the best party I've ever had.
Well, the party's just beginning, Paul, and I'd like to make my contribution right here. I've asked four famous alumni of yours, the King's Men, to join me in a song for you. Gentlemen.
To the tables down at Maury, to the place where Louise went. To the dear old temple bar we loved so well. Sing the whippin folks assembled with their glasses laid on high, and the magic of their singing cast its spell. Yes, the magic of their singing, all the songs we loved. Shall I wait and the morning and the rest? We will serenade our Louise while wife and boy shall rise. Then we'll pass and be forgotten with the
Thank you. Our open house party tonight welcomes several guests from the concert stage. Waiting to meet you now is one I'm sure you'll enjoy hearing. Not long ago in Carnegie Hall, New York, a new star arose over the musical horizon. Her debut there was a sensation such as even the Mecca of music lovers has seldom seen. The simplicity of her technique, the power of her musicianship, broke down all critical barriers and lifted her overnight to the pinnacle of fame. It is my privilege tonight to present that great artiste, playing as she did in Carnegie Hall, her own modern composition, Concerto for Index Finger. Ladies and gentlemen, Miss Gracie Allen.
Oh, Rudy, I hope I play well tonight. I was just over to see Mrs. Galen's baby, and my finger's a little tired from going pip, 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 pip. All right, Paul, I'm ready.
Thank you.
Thank you, Gracie Allen. Gracie, here's someone who wants to meet you, and he's been looking forward to it for a long time. May I present Mr. J.K. Wallace, president of Local 47, the Los Angeles Musicians Group. There she is, Mike.
This is a pleasure, Miss Allen.
Oh, you can call me Gracie.
Oh, well, Gracie, I have a great surprise for you. You know, in recognition of your outstanding contribution to music, Local 47 wants to make you an honorary member. We're very proud to have a concert artist of such magnitude in our organization, and we'd like to present you with this little life membership card.
Oh, now, this is a very great honor, and I couldn't possibly accept it if I didn't realize how much I deserve it.
Well, Gracie, we're proud to have you as an honorary member anyway. And Paul, I want you to know that we're all very proud of you. You know, watching you conduct tonight takes me back to the days when I played bass in your original orchestra at the Alexander Hotel here in Los Angeles.
Pretty good doghouse man, too, as I remember.
Paul, everyone in the organization wishes you well in your new position. Your contributions to music and your fellow musicians have always been great. Yours has been a progressive attitude, and I know you will carry this same enthusiasm into your new executive post. Then listen, Paul. We expect more and better music on the Blue Network from now on. But seriously, Paul, we wish you the best of luck and of all of the good things in life that you richly deserve.
Thank you,
Paul.
And so Gracie Allen joins the great fraternity of Paul Whiteman's alumni. You'll find that fraternity all over the world. Right now, some of them are waiting to join us. Standing by in New York City are Mildred Bailey and Martin Downey. Incidentally, they were the first girl and first boy ever to sing with a famous dance orchestra, Paul Whiteman. We're going to hear as well from Archie of Duffy's Tavern fame, Paul LaValle and his orchestra, and a distinguished figure in music, Dr. Walter Damrosch. Heading this parade of stars is another famous alumnus of Paul Whiteman. And Paul, I think the introduction to him is rightfully yours.
Well, Rudy, it makes me feel proud that this guest once played a saxophone in my band. And it makes me even prouder to know that he is still my close friend. He's a wonderful boy from a wonderful family. And I'm going to be thanking him of them all as I send this microphone traveling to the Hotel Pennsylvania in New York City, where he is enjoying a record-breaking engagement. Ladies and gentlemen, here's Jimmy Dorsey. Come on in, Jimmy.
This is Jimmy Dorsey speaking, and it's a pleasure for me and the band to be having a share in this great tribute to a great guy, Paul Whiteman. Right now, we'd like to say it with music with I Got Rhythm. New York, some of Paul Whiteman's friends have gotten together to join in this salute to him. They're ready and waiting to go on the air. So now let's go to Ed Gardner's, better known as Archie's, at Duffy's.
Hello, Duffy. What are you late, mate? Eat Archie the manager speaking. Duffy ain't here. Hello, Duffy. You heard the joint mentioned on the radio? Well, sure, we're taking part in a tribute to Paul Whiteman. He's just been named the director of music for the Blue Network. Yeah, music. That's stuff that comes out of the jukeboxes. Well, Whiteman's an old friend of mine. Huh? If he's a friend of mine, why don't I get him to work here? Because he's a friend of mine. Duff, Mr. Whiteman is a little too old to try to get back his amateur standing anyhow. He ain't had pennies slung at him in years. Ah, the guy's got a fortune, Duffy. We couldn't get him to work here. Where'd he get the fortune? You remember musicians used to pass their hats and the customers would fill it with money? Whiteman used to pass his pants. Yeah, he amassed a fortune. Besides, Duffy, you don't think nothing is music unless it ends up with when Irish eyes are smiling. Which reminds me, by the way, we got Morton Downey on the show a little later. Yeah, Morton Downey, the Irish Flush. Yeah, he's a Paul Whiteman prodigy, too. Oh, certainly, Duffy. This guy Whiteman's got more winners than Man of War. Yeah, he sires them all the time. Dame that's about to sing here is one of his offsprings. Yeah, Mildred Bailey, the rocking chair lady, they call her. Yeah, she was the first girl singer with the old Whiteman band, Duffy. So keep tuned in and listen to Mildred Bailey. She's really the queen of them all. Listen to her, Duffy.
To a nicer guy. Paul, I hope this song brought back pleasant memories. The sky was blue and high above. The moon was new and so was love. This eager heart of mine sings. Lover, where can you be? Love had its day, that day is past, you've gone away. This eager heart of mine is singing, lover, come back to me. I remember every little thing you used to do. I'm so lonely. night was cold, the moon was new, but love was old. And while I'm waiting, this heart of mine is singing, love will come back to me. I remember every little thing you used to do. Alone with you. No wonder I feel lonely. The sky was blue, the night was cold, the moon was new, but love was old. And while I'm waiting here, this heart of mine is singing, oh lover, come back to me. That's all from us B, folks. And now Morton Downey's coming on. I was the first gal singer with Whiteman's band. Morton Downey was the first boy singer. It's old home night. And they've got some special plans for Vinnie Morton and you. Morton Downey's in Washington at WMAL, and the band is here. I don't know what goes, but I know it'll come out all right. What do you say, Pop? Take it, Morton.
Morton Downey on this end, and I just want to send my word of greeting along to Pops Whiteman on that end. We're a couple of thousand miles apart, but any of the Whiteman alumni always feel right close to the maestro, no matter where time and trains may take us. This family reunion reminds me of the good old days when I used to sit back of a gummy sack, just waiting for the time to come along when I'd get up and sing some songs. I'd like to do it all over again with a swell guy like you. Carolina Moon was a tune we shared in the good old days, and Paul, here's one I'd like to share with you in the good new days.
To me, I've heard that song before. It's from an old familiar score. I know it well, that melody. It's funny how a scene recalls a favorite dream. A dream that brought you so close to me. I know each word, because I've heard that song before. The lyrics said forevermore, the memory. Please have to play it again, and I'll remember just when I heard that lovely song before. I've heard that song before. It's from an old familiar score. I know it well, that melody. It's funny how a theme recalls a favorite dream. A dream that brought you so close to me. I know each word, because I've heard that song before. The lyrics said, forevermore the memory. Please have them play it again, and I'll remember just when I heard that lovely song.
I'll have to say so long now, Paul. And here's a word from Dr. Walter Damrosch, Dean of American Conductors and noted composer, a really great force in musical education in America. Dr. Damrosch, 80 years old last year, regrets that he cannot appear personally at such a late hour. But yesterday afternoon, he made a recording which we now hear.
I count the 13 years during which I was associated with the Blue Network as among the happiest of my musical life. For this organization soon perceived the tremendous help which the marvelous invention of the radio can give to the cultivation of music, comprising not only the popular songs of the day, but the symphonic works of all the great composers. It is tonight my privilege to introduce to you a guest of honor who is to occupy the important position of Director of Musical Activities of the Blue Network. It is a happy choice, as he has proven by his own musical career that he is not only a lover of this greatest of all the arts, but has translated this love into his own interpretations and has thereby gained thousands of devoted listeners to music who at the same time became his admirers. It was he who gave the first performance of that finest composition of our beloved George Gershwin, his Rhapsody in Blue, and of Dean Taylor's brilliant suite, Circus Days. And I confess that although born and strictly educated in the atmosphere of the serious symphonic creations of Mozart and Beethoven and of the great opera tragedies of Wagner, I have hugely enjoyed our guest of honor's symphonic jazz concerts, which he has given not only throughout the United States, but all over Europe. And all Europe smiled with delight when he toured there with his band in 1926. When we hear him conducting his band in music both grave and gay, we feel that he loves music intensely and has the happy faculty of transmitting this love to all his hearers.
It is now our pleasure to return you to Hollywood, where Paul Whiteman is playing the Rhapsody in Blue. For Rhapsody in Blue was the distinguished concert artist of the Boston Symphony Orchestra, Jesus San Roma. Radio and screen personalities from all over the country are joining in this tribute to Paul Whiteman. Even those quaint characters, Lum and Abner, packed their valises and braved the journey from Pine Ridge, Arkansas to pay their respects to the maestro. And so, here they...
Excuse me, Mr. Valley, but I don't think you ought to introduce
it yet. Well, why not, Lum?
Well, mostly because half of it ain't here yet.
Which half ain't or isn't?
The short half.
Well, where is he?
Strange, I don't know. I told him distinct to meet me right here in California.
Nature, didn't you fellows come out together?
Well, no, not exactly. You see, we just had enough money for one railroad ticket. So we flipped a coin to see which one of us would ride on the train and which one of us would hike it, or hitchhike.
Oh, I see.
And I lost.
Oh, you lost it?
Yeah. Yeah, I had to ride that dead blame train.
Well, we can't always be lucky. You go over there and sit down. We'll wait a little while for Abner.
Well, much obliged, Mr. Valley. I'll let you know as soon as he shows up.
That's fine. Meanwhile, we'll continue after
Continue our open house party of welcome to John McNeil and his famous Breakfast Club gang. They're waiting in Toledo, Ohio to present their thrilling history of Paul Whiteman's life. So, Don, it's yours in Toledo, Ohio.
Thanks, Rudy. You know, it's a real kick for me to lend my 2 bits worth to this grand celebration in honor of an equally grand guy, Paul Whiteman, who's been my musical ideal ever since I used to be what I laughingly called a saxophonist in high school in Sheboygan, Wisconsin. In fact, I spent all I had made in the music business for 6 months for car fare to go to Milwaukee and hear Paul and his orchestra in the Rhapsody in Blue. And that was a few years back. In fact, I think it was my 3rd year as a freshman, as I recall. Now, the reason I am up at what, to me, is this unearthly hour tonight, having arisen at 5:30 this morning with the gang, as we have every morning for the past 10 years, to do the Breakfast Club program from Chicago, is because I wouldn't miss a chance to shoot my regards and congratulations to Paul Whiteman. Even though, conducted the Breakfast Club in Chicago this morning, our gang took the train to Toledo, and we just finished a small personal appearance in this grand city. In fact, the gang hasn't gotten back from it yet. As my tribute to Paul, I'd like to tell you some little-known facts about his background. And if you've ever seen Whiteman lead an orchestra, you know his background is a large one. When Paul was a toddling babe, his father was supervisor of music in the Denver school and also taught a music class in the Mountain Summer Resort near there. Well, one day on his way to class, he was pushing Paul in the baby carriage, and he also had a violin in there. And on the way, he stopped, bought, and put in the buggy a watermelon, which was confusing, as young Paul was built along much the same line. Well, now, the Colorado Rockies are pretty rough. In fact, in some places, they're very rough, and some way the baby carriage got out of hand and started down the hill, including Paul, the watermelon, and the violin. And when the buggy stopped, up jumped Paul unhurt. And instead of reaching for the watermelon, as most kids would have done, Paul reached for the violin. Now, I don't know whether he ate it or not, but his father figured he was hungry for music, and that's how his career as a violinist began. And when he was 10 years old, his father bought him a better violin, half size, not king size, as he uses now, and made Paul sign an agreement that he would practice at least 1 hour a day. Well, the contract was signed on blue paper, which I guess was a forecast of things to come. However, when the baseball season started, young Paul couldn't get to first base with his fiddle lesson. Father called him in, showed him the agreement he'd signed, and locked Paul and his fiddle in his mother's sewing room. Well, now, you'd think this would put Paul in stitches. Yes, he's having a very good sense of humor, but instead he was so sore that he broke the fiddle over the sewing machine. Father told him the violin had cost $60. Paul had better go out and earn it and pay him back. So his father bought him a lawnmower for $8, and Paul mowed lawns all summer to pay back that 68 smackers. And you know, they say for a fact that every time, even now, on his Jersey farm, every time that Paul gets on a big tractor and starts to mow, he can only go for about half an hour because the smell of newly cut grass still makes him sick. And that ain't it. However, when Paul added a couple of years, he discarded the violin for a viola from a girlfriend of the same name, and for several years he played for scale in the Denver Symphony Orchestra. And then in 1915, he heard about the San Francisco World's Fair. And he hired himself out there and became the first swing violinist with the San Francisco Symphony, where he was given the nickname of the Golden Gate. And on the 4th of July, the Frisco Symphony, including Paul, opened with a patriotic march, the first 16 bars of which were played by the bassoon player, who sat directly in front of Paul. Now, the playful Mr. Whiteman had bought a giant firecracker, which he neatly wrapped in tissue paper and stuffed in the top of the bassoon. The man started playing, and off went the firecracker, and when the smoke cleared away, all that remained after Whiteman's blitz was a little metal pipe and a reed, which the bassoon player still had in his mouth. That's how Paul Whiteman got in the Navy, where he became head bandmaster, and at that time he weighed a neat 327 pounds, including the bones soaking wet, which in these days of meat rationing is something to remember. And right about this time, Paul got the idea that if symphonic principles were applied to a jazz band, something was bound to happen, and it did. As we all know, Paul became the king of jazz, the most famous jive Toscanini of all time. He even took his jazz band to that famous Carnegie Auditorium in New York. In other words, the best tunes of Paul went to Carnegie Hall. And now look what's happened to him. He hasn't had enough trouble falling out of baby carriages and breaking fiddles on sewing machines and mowing lawns all summer and blowing up bassoons. No, now he's just been made director of music for the Blue Network. But I know that we of the Blue Network Breakfast Club are just the guys that can take it. He'll make a wonderful director of music. And I, for one, am looking forward to meeting Paul on his next trip to Chicago. We'll go out to my house, we'll split a fifth of milk together, and he can go outside and mow my lawn for me. All right, and now back to Hollywood and Tom Brenneman of Breakfast at Sardi's, where Paul Whiteman is about to receive the crowning award of his career. Come in, Hollywood and Tom Brenneman.
Thank you, Don. Gee, that was swell. I have Paul here now in front of our microphone.
Incidentally, I might say that I am Tom Brenneman of Breakfast at Sardi's fame. What? Well, go on, applaud. That's one thing McGill didn't get. He didn't ask for it. And, Paul, you know, it's my pleasure. You have been, I want to say, first of all, and on our Breakfast at Sardi's program, for those of you who perhaps have never heard our little shindig from the Blue Network each morning, we do award a Good Neighbor Orchid.
Oh, I've been there often.
Oh, yes, I know that, Paul. You know, I was talking to the customers out there. But we award it to some dear old lady. Well, we do, who does so much good for everybody in the world. And I think that Paul Whiteman, who has been the mother to such stars as Mildred Bailey and Jane Froman and Joan Edwards and Ramona and all Bing, the Binger, and the Dorsey boys and Henry Bussey and Morton Downey, oh, so many more, I couldn't name them. But they all call you Pops, but you really have been... you've done a grand job, Paul, in your career. Well, don't thank me. I had nothing to do with it. But at the same time, I do know that that you have been a good neighbor as far as our radio business is concerned. And so on behalf, Paul, of the ladies of Breakfast at Sardi's, Don refers to this as the crowning award. Isn't that a beauty? I want to present to you, Paul, this lovely orchid as our good, good neighbor, believe me.
Oh, well, that's wonderful. Wait just a minute. You know what you do to those very charming elderly ladies that
win the orchid?
Hmm? You know what you do for the very charming ladies that win the orchid at the Breakfast Society?
What do you mean, what I do for them, Paul?
You know, the first order, you always give them a kiss.
Are you kidding?
My first orchid.
Well, wait a minute, Whiteman. Take the orchid, will you, buddy? Good luck to you, pal.
We pause briefly for station identification.
How about it, Lund? Has Abner arrived yet?
No, ain't so hiding her here, really. I oughtn't to let him run around with this way. I just oughtn't to do it.
No, you oughtn't to do it.
He can't be lost, though, because I wrote out the address of this place for him. Wrote it on a card.
You sure you read it?
Oh, yeah. I got the card right here in my pocket to prove it.
Well, now, just a minute. Why didn't you let him take the card?
Well, and let him lose it? Oh, no.
Well, I guess you know him better than I do.
Reckon we can wait a little longer for him?
Oh, I reckon. Not much longer, though.
No. Well, as soon as he arrives, I'll tell him to hurry up and get here.
Good. While Lund is looking about for Abner, I'd like to introduce a great international artist, a familiar voice in millions of American homes. Here she is. Your own Gracie Field.
Hello, everybody, everywhere. This is me again. Paul, I'm here tonight to bring you greetings from your many friends in England.
Oh, thank you, Gracie. It's nice to be remembered this way.
You know, we've never forgotten those wonderful concerts at the old Albert Hall in London. A real musical sensation.
And you weren't bad yourself in that same old hall.
Don't bring that up. Well, Paul, how about a bit of a song for your open house party?
Oh, Gracie, that's just fine.
I'm going to sing you a popular army song. Everybody knows. There's a song about him. This is how it goes. Just a little ditty, just a thing to sing. But when the boys are marching, how they love to sing. There was cheese watching in the breeze, in the stores, in the stores. There was ham mixed up with the jam in the quartermaster stores. My eyes are dim, I cannot think. I have not brought my specs with me. I have not brought my specs with me. There was cake, it couldn't break in the stores, in the stores. There were flies, eating on the pies in the quartermaster stores. There were buns, bullets for the gums in the stores, in the stores. There were eggs, nearly going red in the
one of my favorites and one of yours. Till we meet again.
Mild of wild is this Miss Saturday,
Miss Tracy Peel, and our thanks to my colleague, Carl Hoff, for his splendid conducting of the orchestra. Ladies and gentlemen, we must interrupt our open house party for just a moment to straighten out a little personal matter. It seems that a telephone call has just come in for Lum of Lum and Abner. Lum, are you still around?
Yeah, I am, Mr. Valley, but Abner ain't showed up yet.
Well, there's a telephone call for you. You can take it right here.
Oh, well, good. Never know nobody knows I'm out here.
Hello?
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 Who is this, Abner?
Hello?
Is that you talking, Abner?
I want to talk to Lum Eddard.
Well, this is me, or him.
Hello?
Oh, for goodness sakes, Abner, stop saying hello.
Is Lum Eddard there?
That's who you're talking to.
Hello?
One, two, goodness. Abner, take up your phone.
Huh?
What about the U.S.?
Is that you, Lum?
Why, sure.
This is Abner.
I know it is.
Hello? Lum, I heard your voice on the radio, so I had the central girl get you on the telephone.
Well, whereabouts are you calling from?
I'm in a little telephone booth in a drugstore.
Well, hurry up and get to the radio station. We're waiting for you.
What direction do I go to get there, Lum?
I don't know. What drugstore are you at?
The one right next to that big long bridge.
Oh,
just a second. Say, Mr. Valley, where about is a big, long bridge?
Bridge? There's no bridge in Hollywood.
Oh, Abner, you must be mistaken about that. There ain't no bridge here.
There ain't?
No.
Huh. As long as there's one here just a minute ago, let me go out there and take another look.
Yeah, you better do that. Granny's that Abner can get himself more mixed up than everyone human I ever run up again in my whole life.
Hello?
Hello?
It's still there, Lum. They call it the Golden Gate Bridge.
Golden Gate?
Yeah.
Well, that's way up there in San Francisco.
Well, whereabouts do you think I'm at?
Oh, my goodness. My goodness.
Ain't that where you're at?
Of course not. I'm down here in Hollywood. How'd you get up there?
I don't know. I just hitched a ride with a feller, and he said he's going to California, and here I am.
Well, if that don't beat the bugs of fighting.
I reckon I must have taken a shortcut.
You must have. Well, hold the phone a minute, Abner. Say, Mr. Valley, looks like we can't sing no tributes to Mr. Whiteman after all.
Well, can't you do whatever you planned alone?
Well, yeah, I reckon I could. All we're going to do is just say something nice about him and then give him a wristwatch. Do you think he'll like that?
Oh, I'm sure he will.
He wouldn't want one of them Mickey Mouse watches, would he?
Oh, no, of course not.
I didn't think so. That's why we scraped the Mickey Mouse off of it.
That was good thinking.
Pretty quick thinking, wasn't it?
Yes.
Say, couldn't we have Abner say the nice things over the phone, and then I'll do the presenting of the watch here myself?
I don't know why not. I'll get Paul for you.
Yeah, good. Hello, Abner?
Hello!
Hello?
Hello!
I want you to say something nice to Mr. Whiteman.
Oh. Well, what'll I say?
Well, just tell him how proud we are of him taking up this high-class job with the Blue Network and all that stuff.
Uh-huh. What line of work's he in, Long?
He's a music director. Plays with a band, I think.
What instrument?
Well, I don't think he plays no instrument. That's why he had to take up directing.
Uh-huh.
Well, wait a minute. Here he is. Are you ready, Mr. Whiteman?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Good. Here, just hold the receiver up to your ear here.
Yeah, I've handled one of these gadgets before. Hello?
Hello?
This is Mr. Whiteman.
Hello?
What do I do now?
Just keep talking. He gets past hello after a while.
Hello? Mr. Whiteman?
Yes?
Me and Lom are proud to hear that you finally got a job.
Yeah, it's very nice.
Steady work, is it?
Yeah, fairly steady.
Uh-huh. How much they paying you?
Oh, just average.
Well, leastways, it'll keep you off in the street.
That's right.
Here, he's talked long enough. Better hang up now, and I'll present you with the watch. Wait a minute, though. Oh, my goodness. Give me that phone.
Yeah, you take it. I'm liable to get conceited if I stand here any longer and listen to Abner flatter me.
Yeah, I'll see to that. Hello, Abner.
Huh?
Say, have you got the watch up there with you?
Why, sure. I got it right here. Why?
Dead blame it. We're supposed to give that to Mr. Whiteman.
Well, put him on. I'll take care of it. I'll tell him what time it is.
No, Abner, that ain't no good.
Just put him on the phone, Lom.
Well, all right. Here, Mr. Whiteman, he wants you again.
I was afraid of that. Hello?
Hello? Mr. Whiteman?
Yeah?
Well, I'm holding your watch up to the phone here. Can you hear it tick?
No, I can't.
That's curious. Wait a minute. Maybe I better wind it first. Hello? Mr. Whiteman?
Hello.
Now that I think about it, I don't much believe you'd like to watch anyhow, and besides, the government needs all the scrap metal so bad. I tell you what, we'll just send you a bucket of sorghum and molasses when we get back home.
Thank you, Lum and Abner. Time marches back. The year is 1932. The place, a radio studio atop the New Amsterdam Theater in New York City. On the stage, a young man from Savannah, Georgia, is singing the song that won him the Paul Whiteman Youth of America contest.
What did I do to you?
Well, son, that was 12. You win the contest. What's your name?
Johnny.
Johnny, eh? Well, Johnny, what's your big ambition?
Well, I'd like to sing with your band.
Well, Johnny, we've got a lot of singers.
Well, how about a good rhythm trio?
Well, we've got a trio and we've got a quartet, too, in the band.
Yeah, I know. I listen to the band all the time. But you haven't got a trio that's as good as the one that used to be with the band.
Oh, you mean Crosby, Ringer, and Barrett, the rhythm boys. Do you think you can put together a trio as good as they were?
Well, if Tryon will do it, we'll sure get there.
So Johnny and his trio join the band, the same Johnny that's right here beside me today. Johnny Mercer. By the way, Johnny, whatever happened to that trio?
You mean after that hectic engagement we spent with you, that one consecutive week?
That's right, Johnny.
Well, you know, Pops, you were a little wrong about the boys in that trio. Andy Love is doing fine in New York.
And you're doing pretty fair, too, incidentally.
Well, I've been pretty lucky. I've had some great tunes to write lyrics to.
Yeah, Johnny, but you can't stretch luck from the time you wrote tunes for the Whiteman Band, such as Pardon My Southern Accent, and Here Comes the British with a Bang Bang, right up to this present day and Black Magic. Nobody can stretch luck that far, son. And what about those tunes in between?
Well, some of them didn't get anywhere.
Yeah, but some of them did. I can remember And the Angels Sing, Fools Rush In, Blues in the Night, Old Cow Hands, Skylark. Too many to name. Well, 1 week last year, you had 4 songs on a hit parade.
Yeah, that was a fair week.
Well, Johnny, this may sound a little off the elbow and a little corny, but what really was your favorite?
Well, Pop, this may sound a little corny, too, but they say a fellow always remembers his first love. I've never forgotten the first song that went places. Lazy Bone.
Yeah, and that's a mighty sweet memory, too. How about singing it now?
Anything you say.
You got it, son. You got it.
Lazy bones, sitting in the sun. How you expect to get your day work done? You'll never get your day work done. Sitting in the noonday sun. Lazy bones, sleeping in the shade. How you expect to get that gone? You'll never get your gone laid. Sleeping in the evening day. When the tears need friends, I bet you people grin. The birds fall off of your mind. And when you go fishing, I bet you keep wishing the fish won't grab at your life. Loafing through the day, I expect you make a dime that way. Man, you never make no dime that way. Well, I'm a dog. He never said a word.
All over the country, hundreds of telegrams are pouring into the Blue Network studios for Paul Whiteman. I'd like to read a few of them to you. Some of them are from his friends and associates who couldn't be with us tonight. The first is from Bing Crosby. It reads, "Dear Pop, sorry I had to be on tour when your celebration came off. Tried to make it, but you know how travel is these days. My good wishes go with you on your new job." Signed, Bing Crosby. And here's a message from Dinah Shore, who also has been with us. She says, "Dear Blue Network, congratulations on getting the best ever. As for you, Pop, dear, I wish I could be there to give you a great big welcoming kiss. As ever, Dinah." Mark Wood, president of the Blue Network, sends this message to you, Paul. "I am happy to welcome to the Blue Network our new director of music, Paul Whiteman. And I am sorry I cannot be in Hollywood to greet him personally on this occasion. I should like to say, however, that no choice in all the musical world could have been happier than the Dean of Modern American Music to head up music on the Blue. Mr. Whiteman will plan new programs of music and cooperate in the production of all of the many musical programs which the Blue Network regularly brings to its millions of listeners. We are confident that the association of Mr. Whiteman with the Blue Network marks another forward step in the growth of the Blue and in its service to its listeners, its affiliated stations, and its advertisers." Signed, Mark Wood, President, Blue Network, Proper. These are a few of the hundred, Paul. They should make you very, very happy.
It does really mighty happy.
Now, Paul, we've got the big surprise of the evening waiting for you.
I don't know how the surprises can get any bigger. I'm pretty much overwhelmed right now.
Well, this is one that'll give you a great big kick, Paul. Three surprise packages we've gathered together for you. Here they are, Paul.
What is it? Three mighty pretty boxes all wrapped in tissue paper and tied up with blue ribbon. What I do is
try opening them. Here, take this one.
Can't gag you.
No, I wouldn't say that. Go ahead, open the box.
Okay, here goes.
Hello, Pop. This is Henry Busby, your old trumpet player.
Henry Busby, where are you?
Why, I'm up in Oakland, California, Pop. We're playing the Orpheum Theater. We're on the stage right now.
Well, how do you like that? This is a surprise. And here's package number two. I'm going to open this up, too. Henry, hold on a minute, will you?
Okay, Pop.
We'll be right back. Well, here goes the second package.
Hiya, Pop.
This is Tommy Dorsey,
your old trombone player.
Tommy Dorsey, where are you?
In San Diego, California, Pop. We're down here playing the Victory Trader Spotlight Band Show for the Marines at Camp Gillespie. And I didn't want to miss the celebration, so here I am.
Well, shut my big mouth. You hear Tommy, Henry?
Sure do.
How are you, Tommy?
I'm swinging out just well, Henry.
Hey, this is great. My old trombone player, my old trumpet man.
Two down and one to go, Paul.
Here's the third package.
All right, Rudy.
Hang on, boys. Well, here goes to the third package.
Hello, Pop. This is Matty, your old violin player.
Matty? Matty Malnick?
That's right, Pop.
Well, what do you know, Matty Malnick? Where are you?
I'm at the Biltmore Bowl in Los Angeles.
Great. Say, hey, Tommy and Henry, Matty's on. Can you hear him?
Plain as day up here in Oakland. There's a bell here in San Diego, too.
Well, Paul, how's that for a surprise?
Well, you really caught me with this one, Rudy. How about having the boys do a number?
You mean each do a number?
No. I've got a better idea. How about a swing section? Tommy Dorsey and the trombone from San Diego, Henry Buzzy and the trumpet up at Oakland, California, and Matty Malnick with the violin at the Los Angeles Biltmore. How does that sound?
Paul, that's terrific. You boys hep to what's going on?
It's a thing, Pop. How about you, Henry?
I'm in. How about you, Matty?
My violin bowl got the jitters waiting to go. Let's get at it.
Okay, let's do Honeysuckle Rose. Henry, we'll use your rhythm section for the whole thing, and you take the first chorus from Oakland. Then, Tommy, you take the second from San Diego, and Matty, you chime in with the third from Los Angeles. Okay, Henry, start it off with that good old right foot, just like you used to. Fine, Susan Henry, and all right, Tommy, show them how the clip horn sounds down there in San Diego. Okay, Matty, your turn. Turn on that good old Los Angeles fiddle. Let's really do this right. Let's rehearse from each one of you. Now, let's put it all together and have a real jam. Tommy in San Diego, Henry in Oakland, Matty in Los Angeles. I'll count it off. A one, a two, a... Tommy Dorsey, Henry Buzzy, and Matty Malnick for a fine bit of entertainment. Incidentally, Paul, I believe that's the first time a radio swing session
like that has ever been attempted.
Yeah, I think I know the reason why.
What's that?
Well, it was that last course. It's my
fault. I'm interested, but it's awful nervous stuff. By the way, Rudy, take a look.
Our open house party comes to a close. The Blue Network Company wishes to thank the many friends and close associates of Mr. Paul Whiteman for his contributions and their help in saluting its new musical director. Our grateful thanks to Mr. Ferdy Coffé, Miss Gracie Allen, Mr. J.K. Wallace, Jimmy Dorsey and his orchestra, Archie of Duffy's Tavern, Mildred Bailey, Morton Downey, Paul LaValle, Dr. Walter Dean.